Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The hour on this, the fourth day of June 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. And wait a minute. Good evening and a ring of the cowbell. To Anatole, Jeremy in Vermont, and Chug a Punch, as well as longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, all of whom were right there at the beginning of the program. No matter, it's not like, if you're not there, come on in. The conversation's fine. It's a madcap, rollicking good time that happens between the during the 3 hours the program is live on the air. Just go over to headonradionetwork.com/chatroom, pick yourself out a screen name, pick yourself out a password, and you will be right there participating in the multimedia real-time experience. Yes, indeed. We are indeed, in fact, a listener-supported broadcast effort and more in a conversation effort than broadcast, really. This is about community building, and that's what we've built here over the last more than 10 years. Hot diggity. And consequently, it's been maintained exclusively on your kind contributions. And, well, okay, there was a little bit of other early on, and Agnes and I have thrown in when need be and could be. But it's a listener-supported operation. Your kind contributions purchase absolutely nothing. There is nothing here for sale. We are only keeping a conversation going, a safe space to engage in thoughtful discussion and sometimes wackiness and sometimes fury, anger, disgust, all of, the full panoply of the human experience. If you would like to help out in keeping the program going, I invite you to go by headonradionetwork.com, click on the tab called Contribute. Fill out as many of the fields as needed, and you can leave the nosy ones aside to get to the second page where you make all your PayPal choices, and that's how we keep things going. We try to raise $100 or $200 on any given evening, yet that can also happen via the United States Postal Service, and thank you very kindly to Terrace and to Brandon as well. Thank you both for your help. So the mailing address, if you prefer the postal service, is The Horn. Checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, because I never see them. Boss Man Wayne takes care of that kind of stuff. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And if you want to drop me a line and let me know that it's in the mailbox, then I can tell Boss Man Wayne he doesn't have to wear his spider-proof gloves when he reaches into the echo chamber that is frequently the mailbox. And you stick your face and you, hello, 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 hello. And this big old spider comes around. It's really terrifying when you get right down to it. But, yeah, let me know, and I'll let him know. So we're trying to raise $200 this evening, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 40 at 5, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, you get the drill. 25 at 8, for that matter. Isn't math amazing? Yes. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And program note, there will be no Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow evening. on account of the graduation of our youngest, the amazing Doodle, is graduating from high school, and we're all going to be there, relatives coming in from 1,000 miles away. They're on the road even as we speak. And looking forward to the get-together. We'll do graduation Friday night, and then Saturday have a party, picnic, that kind of thing. And congratulate her all around because, I mean, you talk about responsible. She graduates Friday. She has her graduation party Saturday. Monday she starts work. Yeah. The 1%er out there, you know, oh, we've graduated. Oh, mommy. Can I go to the Caribbean? Well, when you're not part of the 1%, you go to work. And she will on Monday, and I am, and her mother and I are as proud of her as we can possibly be. And she's the baby. So then come Monday, regular program schedule as expected. We're careful about using that word normal around here, you understand. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And by the way, yes, thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. I do appreciate it, because not being a radio signal, we really can't have an air monitor here, and the latency of the Internet prevents that. So it sounds fine to me, but sometimes there's not even a stream going out. And without people like Jeremy and Randy out there as well, I got no clue sometimes. Well, then again, there are those who'd say I have no clue all of the time, but we'll just take that as read. Doodle is fine, Marty. Doodle's just fine. That's what she's been since the day she was born. Answers to it and everything. Marty says, no grad night trip to the nearest amusement park? Egad. Marty, I know I am sadly devoid of geographical knowledge of the West Coast, but the nearest amusement park, let's see, there's Kings Island in Cincinnati, and there's something over there around Jamestown. Yeah, 8 hours either way. 6 hours to Cincy, but you get the idea. Although we did have a carnival in the Kroger parking lot last weekend, but still. Now, it is, like I said, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And Thorn in the Side Thursday is generally reserved for those things that really kind of make us go, you know, like when the nurse or the doctor says, you know, this might sting a little bit. And you know that that's shorthand for look for a soft place to land? Yeah, that's what the thorns feel like. And I've been sitting around preparing for the program all day long. And, oh, by about, you know, an hour or so ago, I was already convinced that, you know, maybe we'll just skip to 9 p.m. and I'll go take the bleach shower now. Ain't a lot of nasty out there today. So I just warn you, this is not, I mean, oh, that's true. There's Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, Anatole. And then is Kennywood still open somewhere near Pittsburgh? I'd forgotten those two. But it's more than you can do for, you know, just a nighttime trip to the meeting. Right. So, yeah, it's a little icky today. Sorry. We'll find our way through it, but just a general warning that there's ickiness in the offing. Of course, as we closed the program last night, the big deal was the upcoming not hard-hitting interview by Megyn Kelly with the Duggery Bunch, which all by itself just sounds disgusting, doesn't it? Yes, it does. and we'll probably be talking about that at some point during the program. But I want to start with something that I found especially odious. And because this man is not only dangerous, but he also occupies a position of considerable power. I'm talking, of course, about Rafael Eduardo Cruz, senator from Texas. He, of course, was the first declared, wasn't he? The first declared entrant into the 2016 GOP clown car. And, of course, he is Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz. He would be King Rafael II, I suppose, because Rafael I is already king of America in his own mind. Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz has already had the Wessonality poured over his head and some magic bunkum spoken over him, and we had the audio a couple of years back. It was frightening. But as a presidential candidate, he's been crisscrossing the country, ignoring his duties relative to the people who elected him to be a senator from the state of Texas, and instead has been running around hustling money and speechifying and talking about the decline of the American moral fiber in the traditional family, the usual buzzwords for prejudice, hatred, and bigotry that seem to draw GOP voters to the polls like poo draws a big pile of dog poo draws those big old metallic looking flies in the August heat. So he found his way up to Michigan. Ted Cruz, Rafael Eduardo Cruz did. And I should note at the beginning, at the outset, I should note that I have not said anything about the passage of Vice President Joe Biden's son, Beau, primarily because it's hard to say anything particularly meaningfully in moments as sad as those are. And sad indeed it was. But that doesn't mean that our thoughts don't go out to him. Quite often grief is a very private thing. But when you are anointed future King of America, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, everything's fair game. And so, speaking up in Michigan, even as Vice President Joe Biden and his family grieved the brain cancer death of Beau Biden, who served, incidentally, a tour in Iraq, and I couldn't help wondering, this is just speculation, but I know what we did to that country vis-a-vis the use of depleted uranium munitions. And I know, for instance, that there are clusters in Iraq where babies whose mothers have been subjected to the after effects of those depleted uranium munitions have given birth to babies with horrible birth defects and deformities. Not that you're going to hear much about it on the American for-profit media, mind you, because there's really not airtime over at the Rat, ABC's owned by Disney. Not much time over there at CBS Viacom, not much time there at NBC Universal, not much time at CNN Chicken Noodle News, and God knows no time at all at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to talk about thousands, tens of thousands, and perhaps hundreds of thousands or even millions of babies born with entirely preventable birth defects had we only not decided to use depleted uranium munitions in our illegal, unjust, and otherwise at least partially genocidal war against the Iraqi people. You know, the war crime committed by Richard B. Dick Big Time Cheney before he dicks you, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, BIM leader George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, John Yoo, then the rest of that filthy, bloodthirsty, murderous gang of thugs. But we did use depleted uranium munitions, and let's remember, it's not because the uranium is radioactive, it's because it's uranium, which is a heavy metal. And the only heavy metal that's arguably good for you is the musical kind, certainly not the actual part of the periodic table of the elements kind. And as we have learned, much to our chagrin here in the sacrifice zone, the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone, anything that gets particulated into tiny particles of dust, which is exactly what happens when depleted uranium munitions are used, because they're really heavy, but they kind of vaporize a little, some when you use them. They vaporize at the breach of the artillery piece, they vaporize at the muzzle, and they vaporize at the impact site. And all those tiny, tiny little particles of depleted uranium, the size less, smaller than a human hair, get inhaled by people like mommies-to-be. And soldiers, and everyday Iraqis. And then the next thing you know, you wind up with cancer clusters. And that's just, you're going to have that when you start illegal wars. But I did think about that. I did think about all the toxicity from the depleted uranium munitions we used, you know, because we suspected Saddam Hussein of having chemical weapons, and those are weapons of mass destruction. Depleted uranium munitions are just, you know, really effective. I thought about that when I read that Bo Biden had been struck down by brain cancer. And my heart hurt for his family. Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, however, being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalist, felt no such compunctions. So when he was out on the stump in Michigan the other night, there was this.
When a team in search...
Well, or there's an ad first. I had it queued up, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Go away, ad. Go away. Goldman Sachs ad, no less. Yeah.
You know, Vice President Joe Biden.
Hear the laughing?
You know the nice thing?
Hear all those Republicans laughing? Oh, hear him laugh even louder. You don't need a punchline.
I promise you it works. The next party you're at, they will crack up laughing.
Yeah. It's not just that while Vice President Biden's family was immersed in incomprehensible human grief, that Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, it's not just that he told that he made sport of a grieving man and his family. It's not just that he did that. It's that there were a room full of his supporters who just laughed and laughed. Oh, I tell you what, that's a knee slapper. Oh, listen to that, Marvelini's a-telling the Joe Biden joke. It makes me giggle every time. I learned about this last night, and that's about when the desire for a bleach shower started. But understand. Now, to be fair... Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, later apologized and said something like, It was in very poor taste that I did that while they were grieving, and I'm sorry. Bullshit, he said to Robin, and he turned and walked away. As is usually the case with these evangelical fundamentalists, he's sorry he got caught. You see, he's been telling that joke over and over and over out on the hustings. And it always gets a laugh. At the next party you're at, just walk up to someone and say, Vice President Joe Biden, and just close your mouth. They'll crack up laughing. It was a mistake to use an old joke about Joe Biden during his time of grief, and I sincerely apologize. The loss of his son is heartbreaking and tragic, and our prayers are very much with the Vice President and his family. Listen, Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, why don't you take that apology, wrap it up, roll it up sideways, and cram it right up your ass? Because that apology has about every bit as much worth as anything that may come out from that orifice. And then within the apology, you know, we can sort of take that apart too. It was a mistake to use an old joke about Joe Biden during his time of grief. See, in those little moments, those of us who pay attention to the workings of the goddess of irony, and we've got a really good example of that here in a few minutes, but in those little moments, we can see that she occasionally sets up little beacons to let us know that she's paying attention and is making sure that people who are trying to be seen as sincere and upstanding and are revealed for the monsters, the misanthropes that they actually are. And that is why the goddess of irony reached down and tweaked Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, right on his little noggin, and made him say it was a mistake to use an old joke about Joe Biden during his time of grief. And you'd think that, you know, the smartest man who ever graduated from Harvard would recognize that. I mean, he's an honors graduate from Harvard Law. You'd think a wordsmith like that, a word parser like that, because lawyers are, first and foremost, parsers of words, teasing out meanings that are or are not there, arguing about them, that kind of thing. You'd think he would know better than to say an old joke, because that immediately lets parsers of words like yours truly note what he is saying is that it would not have been a mistake to use a new joke about Joe Biden during his time of grief. Comma, and I sincerely apologize. Period. So the actual meaning of that sentence is that Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, is apologizing for using an old joke instead of coming up with a new one to use on the grieving vice president. And this is the way that the universe gives us those little whispers in the ear that say, look, a monster walks among you. Because it does. And then, of course, there's the God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, evangelical, gundamentalist, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger-eaters, birchers, and libertarian Republicans who showed up to hear him speechify, and you heard him there, just a-laughing and a-laughing. Ha, 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 listen to that. Yeah, Joe, Vice President Joe Biden, I know, his boy done died of brain cancer and everything, but you know what? It's still funny. Man, can you imagine if Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, had used a new joke about Joe Biden like he says he should have? Oh, I tell you what, they would have had to brung out the fire hoses to calm down the faithful. Now, see, there's a reason that Brother Deacon Asa has risen to the status of Brother Deacon Asa, because Brother Deacon Asa quickly discerns through the Spirit the true meaning of things. And he's just had an epiphany, a revelation, if you will. He just pointed out to me via Skype, Brother Bob, I figured it out. Rafael Eduardo Cruz, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, he's his own son. He's God. Well, I don't think so, but I'm pretty sure he does. You can't apologize for something like that. You know, 1,000 years ago or so, okay, a little less than 1,000. Call it 800 years or so ago. The King of England, one Henry II, was having a bit of a tiff, as English kings were wont to do, with the church. And the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time was a fellow by the name of Thomas à Becket. And in a moment of supreme frustration, Apocrypha, urban legend, whatever, has it that Henry II, in front of his bishop, said, "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" At which an enterprising and eager baron took it upon himself to get some of his baronial buddies together, and they went and chopped the Archbishop of Canterbury to chutney. For which the king wound up having to pay penance, and it involved him crawling on his knees, shirtless, as an act of expiation of sin. That at least had overtones of actual remorse. There's no remorse in Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz. Not a nickel's worth. Not a halfpenny's worth. These right-wing monstrosities view politics as blood sport. Get over here! And perpetrate it as such. See, this is one of those nice moments when I'm very happy not being a Christian, so I don't have to go through the machinations of pretending to accept Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz's apology, or pretend that there is forgiveness for him to have. I have none for him. Because he's been telling this joke all along. And you know what? Bo Biden had been having brain cancer all along. And every time he told it, all the crowd, the rubes, all they just laughed and laughed. All the while, the sitting Vice President of the United States, who we know loves his family deeply, who already knew monumental amounts of loss in the death of his wife and his daughter in a car wreck decades ago when he was young. Young Bo Biden lay in a hospital bed from that wreck when Joe Biden was sworn in. There are photographs, because Joe Biden was sworn into office at his son's hospital bedside. But that's all right, because Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, has donations to solicit. He has political hustling to do. If you ever wanted to see a perfect, nay, a textbook example of how sickening, how revolting, how utterly nauseating Republicans can be, it's right there in Michigan a couple of nights ago when, already knowing Bo Biden was dead, Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, told that joke again, and the stumps again laughed and laughed. Like I said, it really does kind of begin with and continues through, some bleach showering urges. And yes, as a matter of fact, Michael and Madison caught this. Michael and Madison said, did you just make a Mortal Kombat, the bloody video game reference? Just checking. Yes, I did. Hence my reference to Bloodsport. It only gets grosser. You may recall we had a clip last night of presidential candidate, pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil salesman, Mike Huckabee, making fun of trans people and describing them as a threat. You may also recall the pastor, brother, governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil salesman, Mike Huckabee, has a couple of sons. One of them, David Huckabee, got fired when he was a Boy Scout counselor when he was 17 years old because he lynched and killed and tortured and mutilated a stray dog using the powers of his office. Pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil salesman, presidential candidate Mike Huckabee managed to keep that hush-hush, apparently keeping the monstrosities of one's monstrous children hush-hush in Arkansas is a bit of a done thing among the upstanding, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalists. Well, he's got another son. He's got a son by the name of John Mark Huckabee. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that clever? John Mark, just like the Bible. And John Mark has him a degree in film. He's got a degree in film from, the Arkansas Film Institute or some such. That's what it's called, the Arkansas Film Institute. And John Mark Huckabee has tried to get himself an acting career. And just as is the case that pastor, brother, governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil salesman Mike Huckabee, just as he has a whole bunch of sermons out there that he will not allow to be released for public scrutiny, well, John Mark Huckabee has tried to have himself an acting career, and they've been trying to keep him from getting publicly scrutinied for pretty good reason. He got himself cast in this really gross little movie called Charlie Muse. It never got released. And it was directed by Christopher Alvarez of Loophole Media as an experimental film. What made it so experimental is that we weren't going to show Charlie Muse. Charlie Muse was the audience, so we were going to put the audience through Charlie Muse's eyes. And basically, what they wanted to do was show the not-so-positive side of agents in Hollywood. So guess who got cast as the sleazy Hollywood agent? John Mark Huckabee. He also runs a production company called ProCon Entertainment. As the Daily Caller noted, the same YouTube channel hosts the video Experience Israel with Governor Mike Huckabee. I don't think this is quite Israel experience and stuff. Let's check in, shall we?
You gotta have a thick skin and a willingness to do whatever it takes to succeed. Do you not think that there's not an A-list actor out there that's never had to show some tit or suck a little dick to get a part? You know what I mean, sweet cheeks?
Yeah, they tried to yank that down off of YouTube, lickety-split, but the Daily Caller got a capture of it. That's John Mark Huckabee with that kind of sleazy nasal accent. I wonder who he'd be trying to parody that way. I don't know. The director, Alvarez, says it was kind of neat. It was a neat project. It just didn't get finished. The campaign of presidential candidate, pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil salesman Mike Huckabee, has declined to comment on that little sleazy-ass clip. Incidentally, though, as the Daily Caller notes, the Huckabee campaign did not decline to comment back when pastor, governor, brother, presidential candidate, snake oil salesman for diabetes sufferers Mike Huckabee declared that President Obama is a bad father because he lets his daughters listen to that Beyonce. They're a beautiful bunch, aren't they? They really are. I say that with the absolute height of sarcasm. Yes, indeed. We got a veritable cornucopia of this kind of garbage this evening. We may all have to take a bleach shower at some point. What direction do we take this in? Let me see. Just a second here. Well, did you catch that line about, and you know, Daddy must be, Mama and Daddy, who are such fervent supporters of the Duggars, you know, the Huckstabees. They must be so proud of John Mark. Oh, one of these days he'll be accepting an Oscar out there from the liberal Hollywood elite. But did you notice that line about you think there's an A-list actor who hasn't had to show a little tit? Well, I'm sure those are only actresses, you know, who, well. So over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, they have that goofy-ass show, The Five. Mm-hmm. And a couple of days ago, they got, of course, you know, they are chronically wrong about everything, just about. And now they're upset because what are referred to as body-shaming ads have been banned in London. No more freedom in the UK. Never mind the fact that it was people who live in London who started the campaign against an outfit called Protein World when the company put up advertisements with a picture of a woman wearing a bikini and said, "Are you beach body... Are you beach body ready?" The Advertising Standards Authority of the UK eventually banned the ads because they said there are a range of health and weight loss claims made in the ad. But because America is the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, and we have us some freedom. That's freedummmmmmmm. The ads are going up all over New York City. Enter the Five. With Ezekiel, what's her name, and yes, of course, she who said that Eric Holder ran the Justice Department like the Black Panthers, Andrea Tarantula. Well, get the hockey puck.
So, are you beach body ready? That usually doesn't happen for me until November. Well, that is the question one company is asking in a controversial commercial campaign. The ad for a weight loss supplement was first displayed in the UK, and a campaign against it went viral, with people claiming it's fat-shaming and sexist. Some defaced the ads and posted photographs. 70,000 signed a petition against it, and the ad was eventually banned in London. Now, it's come stateside to the U.S., billboard sitting in Times Square, like a block and a half from where we sit here. The company says the controversy was great for sales and that the critics basically paid for its U.S. marketing campaign. Well, of course, it always works like that, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you are offended by an ad with a woman on it or a hot girl or a hot guy, then seek therapy. I mean, go to a therapist. There's something wrong with you. If something like that can put you over the edge, no, really. I mean, the society gets offended so easily.
Yeah. That's what's her name. Obladi, Oblada. Bela. And of course, if you're offended by a hot woman in a bikini, that probably means you're a Muslim. Right. I guess they probably also hate the move toward more realistic models, so that our daughters won't wind up either anorexic or bulimic messes. I mean, I look at Obladi Oblada here, and I wonder how many times her finger's been down her throat to keep her job at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, because Fox News TV Radio Rwanda ain't hiring no big girls. I mean, all you have to do is watch The Five, and you realize that there's a certain body standard at work there. But that's not the worst of it. So you're sick in the head if you object to the objectifying of women. Got it? Good.
Real problem we have. I tell people, go to the doctor. You're losing it, man.
Yeah, you're losing it. You're losing it, man. Man, you're losing it. Because freedom. Because money. I mean, let's see here. I mean, this is not sexist. This is merely an empirical observation. I'm looking at a still right now of Obladi Oblada and Andrea Tarantula and some goofy-looking guy on the couch. And a couple more women. Let's see. On the left, the two women are in jewel tones. Andrea Tarantula is wearing white. Obladi Oblada is wearing red. And there is a solid foot of left leg on display above the knee for Obladi Oblada. A good 9 inches of leg on display for one of the other women. The one in the sort of cyan blue, yeah, same. And it's there for a reason. Because I guess a lot of right-wing sexagenarian, septuagenarian, octogenarian, nonagenarian males, well, it's the closest thing Marvelina will let them get to actual porn. Somebody send up a signal flare if someday the Five show up on TV in the dreaded pantsuits. That's not body shaming, and that's not me being a prude. I guess it's a way of me saying that Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is actually advocating according to their own standards. It would have been no surprise if Obladi Oblada had turned to the camera and says, I mean, like, we're hot, you know? I mean, don't you think we're hot? You think we put on these little micro dresses every day because they're comfortable? We're out here. We're being monetized and commodified.
We're objectified as hell, but the check keeps clearing. So what's wrong with making other women feel bad that they don't look as good as us? I mean, first they came for the billboards, and then they'll come for the five.
But like I said, Andrea Tarantula hasn't spoken yet, so you might want the hockey puck.
Getting campaign. Well, of course, it always works like that, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you are offended by an ad with a woman on it or a hot girl or a hot guy, then seek therapy. I mean, go to a therapist. There's something wrong with you. If something like that can put you over the edge, no, really.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we had universal health care and the people who needed therapy could? Wow, that was a non sequitur.
Really, I mean, the society gets offended so easily.
Yeah.
It's a real problem we have. I tell people, go to the doctor. You're losing it, man.
Definitely.
So, Chris, people took exception because they thought that the images showed less than healthy body image, and that it was something unattainable.
Is
however,
too fit, too lean,
too athletic.
Too
Clean World is the company, and they argue that medically that they are at a safe weight. Well, look, there's the ad right there.
She looks safe.
Looks pretty good.
Read carefully. Listen, the marketing chief is claiming this a victory, as you said, Harris. He's saying it's a big middle finger to everyone who bothered to sign that stupid petition in the UK.
Good for him.
This is a guy who's patting himself on the back and saying, hey, I didn't even intend on getting this kind of coverage. Let's run with it. Those protesters in London, he said, actually funded the campaign to go to New York. And by the way, this is going to turn into New York subway signs. It's going to cover 50% of all the New York subways rolling stock, Harris.
See,
all
right, so we're still a great country.
Yeah. Part of the problem, Andrea, is that some of them have been photoshopped. And so, you know, it's not exactly truth in advertising. Is that breaking news?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They actually photoshopped photos like that?
Well, they're saying that they
were so outraged. I can't.
People are arguing that they think they might have been. Either way, I don't look like that.
Who cares if it was a drawing?
At this time of year, anyone with a functioning brain asks themselves that question. Are you beach body ready? In fact, I ask myself that question every single day. And I bet you people who have a problem with this ad going into summertime are not beach body ready.
Right. Oh, what a trenchant observation from you, Andrea Tarantula. Andrea Tarantula asks herself this time of year every day, am I beach body ready? You reckon the planet might be a slightly better place if she asked, are there people starving in the world and can I do anything about it? Reckon maybe if Andrea Tarantula got up every day and asked herself, gee, I wonder what my carbon footprint is. Have I got a planet ready body? Ah! You get the point. But, of course, the five are all members of the 1%. So this is the time of year they worry about whether they've got beach body ready bodies, not whether or not they're going to be able to cope with 3 months of the kids being out of school and what they're going to do for daycare while they're busy working three goddamn jobs a day. You know, like the hoi polloi do. How beach ready would your bod be, Andrea, if you were working three jobs a day? If the most you could afford was cheap, empty, high-carb, high-fat, high-starch calories, huh? But those kind of questions don't enter the thin gray settlings between the ears of the five at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, those thin gray settlings that pass for brains that slosh around their amygdalae.
Ow, I'm so outraged. I can't.
People are arguing that they think they might have been. Either way, I don't look like that.
Who cares if it was a drawing?
At this time of year, anyone with a functioning brain asks himself that question. Are you beach body ready? In fact, I ask myself that question every single day.
I think she kind of misses the mark on defining functioning brain. I'm no Einstein by any stretch of the imagination. My brain functions really well. And granted, I'm cloaked in male privilege, and B, modestly overweight, and C, the whitest man on planet Earth. So thinking, you know what I think about when I think about going to the beach? White SPF-resistant clothing and a hat with a brim like a goddamn sombrero. That's what I think about. Of course, I have to think about those things when I think about sticking my head in the refrigerator to, you know, find the last jar of pickles, because I can get a bad burn from that refrigerator bulb. How? Talk about empty calories. Empty broadcasting. Empty minds, empty hearts, and if they exist, empty souls. As Carol notes, I'm poor. I can't afford to go to the beach. Why would I ask myself if I was beach body ready? I'm too busy trying to keep the fucking lights on. Gerald noting, you know, Bob, if we all had a six-figure salary and our own personal trainers like Andrea Tarantula does, then we'd all likely have beach bodies. Goddamn Gidget was sharper than this one.
And I bet you people who have a problem with this ad going into summertime are not beach body.
Oh, look at the live fire. They're saying yes,
no,
you
because,
are.
Andrea, right now, everyone who's protested is saying that I don't ask myself that question, and that body image is not
please.
The one that
what
I see.
I'm telling you.
That's where it's going.
It's such a bunch of bull. Oh, everyone wants to know if they look good in a swimsuit.
But what I'm saying
going
is, if you're one of those people, ignore it. Walk by it. Forget
yeah.
it.
And for kids
girls,
who see it, you said? I mean, you should be teaching your kids to not be hypersensitive. If they can't survive a world with signs that make them uncomfortable, they're in trouble.
They should grow up wanting to look like that anyway.
Female pet stars. We are moving on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. They got to be tough. They got to have tough hides, the little children do. You know, I hear it really toughens up the esophagus when you stick your finger down your throat every day, three or four times, maybe every time you eat. Toughens you up from the inside out, trying to make sure you've got that beach body. Sorry, I got lost in looking for my bumper there for a minute. A couple of good choices, but I don't know. But, you know, if the worst of your problems are blah, 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 no. These sick people at Fox are so inured to the suffering of others that they can sit on television and tell people that anyone concerned about young girls, body image, that kind of thing, that they're the sick ones. You see how they massage public opinion, how they finagle it, how they finesse it? Yeah. Jack in Shreveport notes, even the Powell memo mentions using attractive people in the media. Showing that leg ain't no accident. You can't get anything past Irish Dave. You just said 9 inches for Andrea. Man. So let's take our top of the hour break. Being as it's Thursday, we have the Green News Report. We are still looking to raise the evening's $200. We try to raise that every evening here at the Horn. And, so far, we're at zero. That happens. But I also want to extend thanks again to Chris for taking care of Have a Rerun on me for tomorrow. That's big. That's really huge. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who made it such that we come into tonight needing only $200. Wonderful. So you know the phone numbers, right? 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Either one of those works just dandy. And we've got a whole lot more stuff that will induce bleach showers or the urge to take them coming up. This is, of course, Conversation Radio, listener-supported. This is the Horn. We'll be back in a little bit. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Don't be shy. Thursday, June 4, 2015.
A scientific theory that has not been proven.
Republican Rick Perry.
We can address climate change.
And Democrat Lincoln Chafee enter the 2016 race. Maryland bans fracking. Texas and Oklahoma ban fracking bans. Plus, big oil CEOs call for a price on carbon. But there's a catch.
Oh, there's always a catch. All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Recently, the city of Denton, Texas, voted to ban fracking. Then, the Texas legislature decided to ban fracking bans. But don't give up, Denton. I say you should now have a vote on whether to ban bans or fracking bans.
Boom, you tell them, Lee Camp. This is your Green News Report.
Your move, Texas legislature!
Okay, Desi Doyen, you have been doing a yeoman's job of keeping up with all of the candidates that are entering both the Republican and Democratic race and letting America know, nay, letting the world know, what their climate positions are.
And there are so many of them to keep track of.
And there are still more coming, so don't rest on your laurels yet. What do you have for us today?
Well, first, former Texas Governor Rick Perry this week became the 10th Republican to officially declare he is running for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016. And not surprisingly, Tea Party favorite Rick Perry joins the majority of GOP presidential candidates in denying climate change is man-made. The last time Perry ran for president in 2012, he suggested climate change science is really just a big conspiracy.
There are a substantial number of scientists who have manipulated data so that they will have dollars rolling into their projects, and I think we're seeing it almost weekly or even daily, scientists who are coming forward and questioning the original idea that man-made global warming is what is causing the climate to change.
Okay, complete wing nuttery, not to mention complete conspiracy theory nonsense.
I know, and you know, this has serious repercussions for people who live in Texas. Remember that during Texas's recent drought, Perry's response was to have a three-day event to pray for rain.
Well, yeah, his prayers apparently worked because they had enough rain over just the past month to flood the entire state of Texas by 8 inches. Of course, his prayers for rain happened many years ago, so I guess it's a time-released prayer.
In the Democratic race for 2016, Lincoln Chafee, former governor of Rhode Island, who served as Rhode Island's Republican U.S. Senator and then as governor as an independent, has now tossed his hat into the ring. Chafee's move away from the Republican Party actually makes sense because he accepts the science of man-made climate change. Here he is in his presidential announcement on Wednesday.
We can address climate change and extreme weather while protecting American jobs.
I thought that was impossible.
In fact, Chafee has already enacted climate policies when he was governor of Rhode Island, signing legislation to both cut emissions and boosting the resilience of Rhode Island's infrastructure for coming climate impacts.
He also called out George W. Bush for himself lying about climate change. You know, back before Citizens United, when Republicans used to believe in science.
And he promised to regulate carbon dioxide, a climate change pollutant.
Just by way of reminder that, yes, Republicans used to believe in climate change and global warming.
Meanwhile, some big oil companies say they want a price on carbon. After years of obstruction, six CEOs of major European oil companies like BP and Shell have reversed course. They've written a letter to the United Nations asking them to establish a price on carbon in the international climate treaty negotiations.
Okay, I'm suspect.
Turns out that these six oil companies are major natural gas producers. So a price on carbon would hurt coal, their primary competitor for electricity generation. And, of course, now that oil is depleting and expensive around the world, a carbon tax would also help boost the profits for natural gas.
Well, see, that's you looking at the glass half empty. In fact, a price on carbon would also cost something to natural gas producers.
But not nearly as much as it would to coal. Finally, cities in Texas and Oklahoma have lost their property rights and their rights for local control.
Oh, man, what are these big government Democrats doing now to these poor people in Texas and Oklahoma?
Funny you should say that, because these are actually Republicans.
What?
Last month, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and then last week, Oklahoma's Governor Mary Fallon, both Republicans, signed legislation in their states banning towns from banning fracking within their borders, even though new data shows that fracking causes both earthquakes and water contamination.
And even though Republicans like to pretend they believe in local control and small government, and you have small towns voting to ban fracking, and then the big Republican government comes in and overrules them.
But it's the opposite situation in the state of Maryland. Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan has let stand a bill to ban hydraulic fracturing. He neglected to veto a two-year moratorium that was overwhelmingly passed by Maryland's state Senate in April.
Hogan! For much more on these stories, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Heard that bumper coming from a mile away. I love you, Brad and Desi. 12 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, of course, and I want to send out immediate thanks to Michael. Thank you very kindly, Michael. Very kindly indeed. Michael just took care of three-fourths of this evening's fundraising. That is very much appreciated indeed. Takes a lot of the heat off. And, well, that leaves us only $50 to go for this evening. So thank you. Thank you very, very much. Let's run over to the Skype line where we have the one and only Carol Baker. Hello. Hello.
Good evening. Are we reaching? Do what, sir?
Are we reaching? Yes.
Yes, we're reaching.
Good. We got all the way across the flooded plain of Lake Hooterville all the way into the Baker Mansion.
That is true. That is true. Some of us aren't afraid to swim home.
And crawl up a mud bank to get to your car and all kinds of fun stuff.
I did.
Well, by God, after a workout like that, I reckon you'd be beach body ready.
No.
Oh.
But I would like to get the commercial, tonight's commercial for the program out of the way.
Yes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this segment of tonight's Bob Kincaid Show is brought to you by the makers of Clorox Bleach. Clorox. It's not just for making sure your hood and robe are in tip-top NASCAR white condition. Clorox, the official bleach of your local Clavern and your local Quiverful Church.
Amen and amen.
There you go. We can now resume regular programming because I'm going after the Duggars.
Bring it on. See, because I gotta be brutally honest here. I didn't watch.
Well, I took one for the team.
And?
And there's one thing that
did you put the hockey puck in and bite down real good in like four or five trips around the head with the duct tape?
Look, I can't afford the dental work with the hockey pucks anymore, so I've passed that on. But I did get one of Baby Ace's chew toys.
Oh, lovely.
Well, I want to get one thing out of the way first.
I was going to say new or hand-me-down. Uh-oh. Okay, well, I think we're having some internet problems on Carol's end, but hopefully they will resolve momentarily. Stand by a minute. I think Hooterville Semaphore and Telegraph might be experiencing a moment's difficulty. It might have gone all the way down. I don't know. Let's see. In the interim, oh, wait a minute, from Marty, obligatory Star Trek reference, Uhura Nichelle Nichols is in sick bay, apparently having suffered a mild stroke. Oh. Oh. Well, get well soon, Ms. Nichols. Get well soon indeed. Thanks for letting us know, Marty. Do we have you back, Carol?
You do. Sorry. I was smited.
Struck down.
Struck down by the Lord. The Duggars are saying, I have no idea what that was all about. It wouldn't let me reconnect, so I had to do a quick reset. But the Duggars are claiming that they're being persecuted, that the city of Springdale is out to get them because they illegally released that police report and Josh was a minor. And I'm going to clarify something because I have checked and double-checked this. Springdale City Attorney Ernest Kate said that case file was never sealed, and the reason is the police report wasn't filed until 2006, 4 years after the molestations began. And when the police report was filed, Josh Duggar was 18. He was an adult suspect.
Well, that goes hand in hand with something that I noted because I saw a story earlier today where, and granted, we have just about managed to grandmother this woman completely out of the program because it's, you know, she's just such a little attention pig.
You're not going to talk about the Tundra Twint, are you?
Godzilla from Wasilla.
Yeah.
But I noticed that she threw a hissy, and you remember. Were you listening last night when I pointed out it was a Raw Story account by David Edwards, in which we were doing the account of the girl in Pittsburgh who was raped by the youth pastor, and David Edwards used the term forcible rape.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I find bothersome people on supposedly our side do it because it gives legitimacy to the Todd Akins of the world.
Absolutely.
Well, he did it again. Because in a part of the story about Mussolini having a hissy over, you know, the lefty communistos they're persecuting the Duggars, all of that crap. Well, there's a line here. Let me see if I can find it. According to Palin, the wrongdoing that the media should be discussing was the leak of Josh Duggar's records. Now, that's not a quote. That's a journalist typing along.
An idiot.
Oh, I mean, he does okay work, but the thing is, I've, and I'm not singling him out because I've seen it in other accounts as well, Carol. This thing keeps, the fact that In Touch magazine got this report, the for-profit media continue to describe it as a leak. Okay?
Now, they filed a FOIA request.
A Freedom of Information Act request within the guidelines promulgated by the Arkansas legislature and signed into law by the governor of Arkansas.
That's right.
It is a legal process. You know, it's what you want to do when you need to find out stuff that your government knows that you think the public deserves to know.
Yeah, like if there's a pedophile in your midst.
Well, there is that. And so, I'll be honest, I never thought I would see the day when I referred to In Touch magazine as doing journalism.
But then again, we've had to make
that observation with regard to the National Enquirer too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then, right?
That's right.
So they filed a FOIA request, and, you know, if we wanted an expert on FOIAs, we could probably bring Boss Man Wayne on, because he has FOIA'd the living bejesus out of governmental entities when they were out there trying to screw working people out of a fair payday for, you know, public construction projects and things like that. He's well acquainted with FOIAs. And there's lots of exceptions to FOIAs. But one of the things that needs to be borne in mind here, and I don't want to take you away from the central theme of our conversation, but In Touch magazine filed a perfectly appropriate legal Freedom of Information request, which was then reviewed by the city attorney, who, acting upon it, told the police chief, you got to release it.
You have to, by law.
Yeah. And for the life of me, Carol, I do not understand why otherwise respectable journalism people in this country keep referring to it as a leak.
God damn it. A leak is what happens when a trench coat wearing hat brim down over the eyes creep from the Nixon administration meets with you in an underground garage and says, call me Deep Throat.
Exactly.
Right? Leaks are what happens when people are trying to maintain their anonymity about letting the information out.
Yeah.
Or when people say, hello, my name is Edward Snowden, and
exactly.
They leak the information.
But I wanted to dispense with that part of the story first, because that's the narrative that they ended with, that all of their apologists are hanging on to for dear life. I mean, that boy... information was illegally no, well, you know what, that's sort of mommy and daddy's fault, because if they had filed the police report right away, there's no way anybody could ever have found out.
No, it would have been under seal.
It would have been under seal, but they waited until the statute of limitations ran out and Josh was 18. So guess what? Tough titty.
Yeah. And which again, the stuff that like the silences between the notes is music too. The stuff that doesn't get covered is still news. Why has there not been a judicial inquiry opened, Carol, into this juvenile court judge who ordered the destruction of the report itself? You know, the original.
I'd like to know that too.
And what jurisdiction did this judge perceive him or herself to have? Apart from maybe going to Compass Point Cross Church or some such.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this, and I'm sick of the Duggars. I despise the Duggars. I would not pee on any individual Duggar or all of them collectively if they were on fire.
Yeah.
But there are issues raised within this story that have broader implications. Do you agree?
Like, why do these people still have all their children? Why isn't social services investigating these people?
Yeah, because, I mean, what's the youngest Duggar's age, Carol? I don't know.
Oh, I think she's just, like, maybe 3.
And how many of those 19 excuses and counting, how many of them are... under, say, 14?
I don't know, because I don't have a slide rule.
Well, the point being that there is such a body of information out there now, and I'm not even talking about Josh, because, you know, Josh is out of the home now, and he's in a traditional family, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing marriage.
Yeah, with three kids and another one on the way.
And of course, you fear for the kids.
Of course.
But the parents who, by covering it up, enabled the abuse, that in itself is neglect and abuse, even if the statute of limitations has run, and it is abundant, it provides abundant grounds, does it not, for human services to step in, even if they're goddamn millionaires.
Absolutely.
And
they
take those children out of the home until it may safely be ascertained that they will not be harmed. And the only reason you can come up with for not doing it, and I'm not saying you, we, is because money.
Absolutely.
Because wealth privilege. Because white privilege.
And because Christian privilege.
You find me a family of color with 19 kids, one, and two, you then tell me how many times human services or child protective services has been in that home.
Yeah, plenty.
A lot. Yeah. So that, you know, there's a ton of stuff to be considered here, both in the narrow scope of this story itself. And in the broader context, I'm scared. I don't talk a lot about it on the air, because some of it's really, really painful.
Yeah.
I have seen up close and personal the effects of the failure
of Child Protective Services
so have
to
I.
do its job.
Absolutely.
I've been to the funerals, okay? I learned what a spiral fracture is by looking at autopsy photos of a three-year-old infant.
Yep.
I learned things I don't really feel like somebody's got to do it. But
yeah, and you know something? Their kids are the walking dead. What they're doing to them is so harmful. It is so... They're just so fucked up for life. Walking around thinking that they're so much better than everybody else because, you know, they got the shield of Jesus over them. Well, good fucking luck to you out there in the real world. Because you know what? It doesn't mean shit. Unless your mommy and daddy are famous and have millions of dollars.
It would take 15 years apiece to deprogram these children.
I'm sure it would. But I wanted to talk to you about some of the most disturbing things that I heard in this interview last night.
Yeah.
One was they kept repeating the phrase, over the clothes. There was another incident, two different incidents, where girls were laying on the couch and he had touched, over the couch, and he had touched their breasts while they were asleep. This is Jim Bob. And then Michelle nudges them and he goes, over the clothes. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, as long as it was over the clothes, that makes it all okay.
Well, that means there was, because that's a legal distinction, too, I imagine, in Arkansas, if they were emphasizing it. Because it also means he didn't go into the panties, and it means he didn't, there was no penetrative activity.
We don't know that he didn't.
Right.
All we know is that that's the narrative that their family attorney has told them to push. And then, they talked to other families. A lot of families since then said that they've had similar things happen in their families. Really? Well, I think sexual assault's a pretty serious issue, and I think it should be taken seriously. And that comment brought up a couple of issues. And the first one is that Jim Bob seems to be suggesting that it happens all the time, so we're making way more out of it than it should be. And second, which is definitely an issue, obviously, Jim Bob's insistence that it happened a lot made me concerned that this might be a much bigger issue within their church community. So why is this happening so often with people within the Duggar circle? Okay, everybody in the room who's had this happen in more than one family that you in your inner circle or more than two families in your inner circle, raise your hand. Nobody? That's what I thought. Okay. And then the third one was, he was a juvenile, not an adult. And everybody keeps making that distinction. But he was a teenager. He was a child. They keep trying to say that he was, you know, that he wasn't aware of what he was doing.
Bullshit.
You know, I'm sorry, but when you're, he was 14 when he did it and 15.
Is he developmentally delayed?
No, obviously not.
Okay.
He's probably socially stunted.
That's one of the things a court of competent jurisdiction would, I think, take into account. But secondly, the other thing that a court of competent jurisdiction in Arkansas might also take into account is the relative age. And I mention this because in the hissy that Mussolini Caribou Barbie had, and I've seen this. This isn't the first time I've seen this. If you say Josh Duggar to a God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical fundamentalist, Carol, they immediately. I mean, it's like call and response in church. They go, "Lean it on him."
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Sarah Palin is like, all you hypocritical liberals are just victimizing those girls all over again. But none of you said anything about Lena Dunham's sister when she wrote it. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, but aren't you now victimizing Lena Dunham's sister?
Well, there's that. But there's also the fact that a court, and see, this ties into the other Arkansas case, the rehoming case.
Oh, yeah. Representing Harris.
In which the eldest child, whom they promptly got the hell out of their home before they rehomed the other two,
mm-hmm.
had been so badly sexually abused that she was engaging in acting out behavior.
Which is normal.
Which is, well, within that context, yes.
Within that context, because hurt people hurt people.
And so, you know, the court wanted to keep those three children together because there is a presumption that siblings belong together and are better off when they're not broken up.
Correct.
But the court allowed the eldest child to be separated and is apparently, you know, as we noted back when that story was breaking, doing better and getting better and growing up. But when the acting out behavior is taking place and you're 6 years old, the court will take note of it because the court is under an absolute mandate in those sorts of cases to always act in the best interests of the abused child. Okay?
Yeah.
So the reason I go through all of this is to say that, I don't know how to put this. They draw Lena Dunham like a gun now, the right wing does. But she was 7 years old and her sister was what, six, five?
I think.
Something like that?
Yes.
And there was, you know, touching, over the clothing, touching. But you do not presume, a court does not presume the same level of, and the technical Latinate term for this, for evil intent is mens rea. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The court does not presume mens rea upon a seven-year-old.
No, they do not.
A court can, however, because there's this thing that's taught, you know, sort of informally as the rule of sevens. From zero to seven, you are incapable of intentional conduct, negligent conduct, that kind of thing. From 7 to 14, it's a gray area. And from 14 up, you are presumed to intend the consequences of your acts.
That's right.
And you are certainly capable of negligence. So even though they're trying to crucify Lena Dunham, it ain't a one-to-one comparison, Carol. Because that child was a child, and Josh Duggar, damn it all, to hell, was not. And I guarantee you that if we went and did a LexisNexis search for 14-year-old males charged with sexual abuse of children, we would find more than our fair share of them,
I'm sure,
had petitions filed in court to treat them as an adult.
Absolutely.
And so you have to engage in a sort of multi-layered, onion-like analysis here when you start talking about why the Duggars covered up Josh's Duggery.
Money.
That's the we're making a fortune here.
That's right.
He's going to screw it all up if we turn him in.
Yep.
Okay. But the other side of it is that I think, you know, because remember they were getting advice from their pastor and they were getting advice from their state police. I mean, these are some well connected white people.
Yes, they are.
Who somewhere along the way somebody probably said to him, "Listen, you know, he's 14, he's 15, he's 16. If he gets charged, the prosecutor's liable to try to get him tried as an adult, and he'll, you know, it ain't going to be fun where he goes."
And I want you to keep in mind that throughout this whole interview, Michelle Duggar was talking in her little girl voice, and every time she'd speak, she'd look to her wonderful husband, Jim Bob, to make sure that she was saying everything right. And then
Then the tears came in. She had to dab at her eyes with a tissue.
But she had had the common decency to use waterproof mascara, right?
Oh, well, hell yeah. You didn't want her to have, you know, runny mascara face.
You're going to use none of that cheap shit Maybelline, by God. She had that high quality Estee Lauder won't run in a rainstorm mascara.
But she was like, there was a couple more times he came and told us what he'd done. We were just devastated. Yeah, take note. The real victims here are Jim, Bob, and Michelle.
Did anybody ever bother to wonder if after he came and confessed to Mommy and Daddy, he then went and, oh, I don't know, masturbated?
Yeah. We'll talk about his pregnant hands later, but... And then they were like, we've done everything we can as parents. No, you didn't. Talking to your friends isn't everything you can do. Sending your kid off to work construction for a few months isn't everything you can do. Ignoring the needs of your daughters isn't everything you can do. So I call bullshit on that. And Jim Bob, as parents, we're not mandatory reporters. No, Jim Bob, but you are mandatory protectors of your other children. And you failed miserably in that respect. And then they were talking about sending him, and Megyn Kelly kept insisting that he went and got counseling, and it was Christian therapy. And according to Jim Bob, pedophile rehabilitation facilities aren't great and don't really help a lot of people. So their success rate isn't very good. So working construction with a stranger is somehow more helpful and curative. So, and the fact that he came.
Well, you know, when the back is broke, the dick will learn.
I reckon. And the fact that he came to us and told us, well, we knew his heart was still soft. Yeah, but his dick was hard. That was the problem.
There you go.
His heart was still soft. So it was more his heart. Michelle really, truly...
Did they even bother to mention the victims at all?
Not until it was... It was 43 minutes in.
I mean, I know Megyn Kelly said she was going to do a softball interview and everything, but really, they just off the number lap 9 didn't exist anymore?
Well, they're teasing the hell out of her interview with the girls that's supposed to air tomorrow night, and I don't know if I got the stomach for that one, because they're all tearful, and they love their brother, and they done forgived him,
Because they were the wicked temptresses, daughters of Eve in the first place.
Exactly. So, we were trying to protect and watch and make sure that their hearts were safe. Well, I'm really glad you were...
Yeah, that's great. You're protecting their hearts. How about protecting their vaginas?
Yeah, and their innocence. And what about their ability to feel physically safe in their own goddamn home? And then they're like, well, a lot of other family stories are even worse. So, I mean, they did everything to mitigate how horrible this was, including telling the world that they had talked to other families and that Josh's molestation of his four sisters and a babysitter seemed totally inconsequential compared to what other families have supposedly been through. And Josh has changed. Well, you know, I'm not buying that because I think that once they get a taste of that, I'm not convinced. I think that I have been told that if they get them when they're very young, if you can get at them when they're very young and get them through therapy, that there is some success with turning this around. But since he never got therapy, I wouldn't trust him with my worst enemy's kids. No way, no how I would. And they claimed that they put safeguards in place in their home, but they didn't bother sharing what those were. And, but God can forgive him. So they pushed their Christian agenda on the nation. Josh molested 5 girls and 1 of the boys, I suspect. But they're using it as a way to preach God's forgiveness.
Okay, so, and I guess this was a finger too far for Megyn Kelly, but So can we just turn all the child sexual predators out of the prison now as long as Jesus has forgiven them?
Well, if they say sorry.
And would it be okay if we moved them to Springdale, Arkansas?
Yeah, maybe they can live with the Duggars. I mean, I hear Josh's room's empty.
19 pervs and counting.
19 excuses and counting. I'm sorry, after her last miscarriage where she said, maybe God's just saying I'm done making babies. I still call that show 19 Kids and a Dead Fetus. But the creep factor from a scale of 1 to 10 is about running at about 15 for me with these folks. So, yeah, I'm just not going there. But, I mean, I get that there are problems with sexual molestation within families. I get that. I understand it intimately. Not that it happened to me, but it did happen to other members of my family. And I will leave it to them to tell their own story. But, you know, Megyn Kelly was 43 minutes into this interview before she even bothered to mention the girls. And they're using the girls as props to kind of say, it happened to me, I forgive him, it's none of your business. But my attitude is that if you have turned loose a sexual predator on society, then it's my business.
Well, and especially when you look at the numbers. For instance, I don't know if you realize this or not, and I'm sure it didn't come up in Megyn Kelly's little fluff job. But Arkanstan is number 5 in America in the number in terms of the highest rate of sex offenders.
Yeah.
Number 1 is Delaware at 517, followed by Oregon at 473, Vermont at 468, Michigan at 403, Arkansas 396. That's just the raw highest number of sex offenders in a given state.
Mm-hmm.
Per 100,000, okay? So, consider the relative population of 396 per 100,000 in Arkansas to, say, 403 per 100,000 in Michigan. Wouldn't that mean Arkansas is actually a higher percentage?
Absolutely. That's the way I do math.
Let's see. So I think we're going to need some new infrastructure in Springdale, Arkansas, because the total number of registered sex offenders nationwide in the United States, raw number, is 747,408. Now, if we, and I don't have it here, but if we were to cull from that the number who are sexual abusers of children, that would probably be a statistically relevant increase in the population of Arkansas generally, let alone Springdale.
Absolutely.
But you know, and that's why I say, Carol, that this story matters more than just the tawdry details of the crimes themselves, and they were crimes.
Bob, it matters when these people have used that program as a platform to politicize their religion, as a platform, a springboard to be able to go out. Let's talk about Michelle's robocalls.
Oh, you mean the please don't make our precious cheerins go potty with the trans peoples?
Yeah. Absolutely. And they can do all that, you know. And Josh Duggar himself, gay people are the biggest threat to your children. Really, Josh?
Well, and the one thing I didn't run, I don't believe. was that old clip from the program in which he makes an incest joke about going on a double date involving one of the sisters whom he had groped.
Yeah.
Incest jokes.
I saw that. Megyn Kelly asked him, she said, are you thinking at all, this whole launching a reality TV show about your family isn't a good idea given your past? And they were like, well, if that happened after all this was taken care of, and we had a magazine that came to Michelle and said, hey, can we do a story about your family? And we said, yeah, that'd be fine. We didn't have anything to hide. We'd taken care of all that years before. And when they asked us to do a reality TV show, all this had been taken care of 5 years before. We had a clean bill of health from the state. Lie. Because the state...
The state can't give a clean bill of health if the state does not have all the facts upon which to make a determination of said health.
Correct. We said you had gone through counseling, you told the police, lie and lie. Well, technically you told a police officer that you knew who was a friend of yours.
Who probably went home and masturbated about it to some pictures of shitty porn.
And they said, and Megyn said, well, did any of the girls or Josh say, whoa, hold on, Mom and Dad, hold on? And they said, no, we had no fear because everything was taken care of. And this was a sealed juvenile record. Lie. And they had told us all this stuff was done as a juvenile, and this was, all this stuff was sealed, and all this stuff that under the law there's no way it could ever be brought out. Well, because of the way you handled it, it could. Nothing was sealed. And so, no, they don't view Josh as a pedophile. It was just a youthful indiscretion. And then they talked about Mike Huckabee. Like, Huckabee said that, I know he's a friend of your family, Michelle. Let me ask you, because you were in the news for making a robocall that suggested transgender people might want to go into the bathrooms of girls, locker rooms of girls, that they might be child molesters. Folks have used that in the past week against you, saying, how could you unfairly say that in their view compare transgender people to child molesters, knowing what you know about Josh? Oh, I think protecting young girls and not allowing young men or men in general to go into a girl's locker room is just common sense. And she said, but this is different because you injected child molestation into it. And Jim Bob jumps in. He goes, I think you actually said pedophile. And a pedophile is an adult that preys on children. Josh was actually just a 14-year-old boy. And he just turned 15 when he did that. And Yeah, I think the legal definition was 16 and up for being an adult preying on a child. So he was a child preying on a child. He actually fucking said that.
God almighty.
By the way. Yeah.
Another interesting statistic.
Yes.
Children who are sexually abused, 30% of them will become sexually abusive later in life.
Yeah.
So yeah. Take those five girls that were incestuously abused. I really think we need to kind of keep that word out in the front. I know 30, let's see, you can't exactly come up with a nice round number, but still, there's more than three of them. So let's see, 5.0 times 0.30, 1.5.
A half a Duggar?
Half Duggery, for all I know. But
half a Duggar is still half a Duggar too many.
And, the reoffend rate, let's see, percent of second offenses that occur while living in a supervised community, 60%. Percent of sexually molested girls who are molested by someone they knew, 80%. By the way, total number of sex offenders under supervision of a correction agency in the United States, 265,000. But one of them ain't a Duggar.
That's right.
And you know, this causes some conflict inside my being, because being a progressive person, a liberal person, my world does not exist in black and white. My world is not does not have a bright red line drawn in it, because, well, there's a hell of a lot more gray than there is black and white. And so, on the one hand, I don't know that it would have done any good to send Josh Duggar to a juvenile justice facility.
I would have liked to have seen him get therapy by a licensed therapist, somebody who went to, you know, school.
Right, you mean like under supervision of the court?
Yeah.
Yeah, problem, Carol. And you know, I'm not being argumentative for the sake of being argumentative, but in any of these circumstances, you have to remember where you are. Whether it's something that happens in New York, California, Michigan, or Arkansas. For instance, when a kid gets in trouble in West Virginia, and the court makes a determination that the child has to be taken out of the home, either because the child has done some juvenile crime, or because the parents have proven themselves incapable of taking care of the children, or have abused the children. The chances are greater than 50%, much greater than 50%, I would say, that they're going to be put into a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist facility. We have one.
Well, that's awesome.
We have one not 10 miles away from here called New River Ranch.
Oh, God.
And the children have to get up every day and go pray to Jeebus. And that is all. But I guess what I'm getting at is that notion that you have just espoused, that you would like to have seen them get competent counseling. And I mean, you know, insult.
It's
exactly
it.
That. It's just a notion. I remember when our good friend, horn psychotherapist, Rick Goodner, from down Texas way, would call in and give us the skinny on what it really means to try to get help in a place like Texas.
Yeah.
Because as often as not, it's going to be some Bible humper with an LCSW certification who will start telling them about how Jesus can cleanse their dirty parts.
How about a psychiatrist? Am I off the rails by thinking these people need to talk to a psychiatrist?
Within the meanings of psychiatry, as probably 99% of America thinks psychiatry is, great idea. But within the meaning of what psychiatry actually is in America, it ain't no help. Because a psychiatrist in America is someone with a medical degree who can dispense medications. Psychiatrists do not put people on couches and say, tell me about your maza. That's just a cliche. Psychiatrists in America are pill rollers.
Well, I guess that's why we have programs like this, Bob, because I want to tell you about my mother now.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
No. tell me about your maza.
No, I don't think I will.
How many times did she beat you? No.
Many.
A cigar is only a cigar.
And knowing me as you do, sometimes I deserved it.
But again, one of the reasons that this thing is an iceberg. You know, there's only a third of it that's sticking up above the water. But there's two-thirds of it that is just a wreck waiting to happen. And that wreck, Carol, happens day after day after day after day after day after day in this country. Because children don't get what they need. And we've got a political party hell-bent on making sure that the ones who might even potentially get what they need have what they need taken the hell away from them.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I am single, childless, and without religion.
Well, a lot of truth in that. But, you know, are there solutions? Sure there are.
Yeah.
But for those of us who think that maybe if the judicial system had been involved, that there might have been a better outcome, I'd say the odds are 9-1 against. Look at the behavior of that juvenile court judge who had the original of the report destroyed and the file expunged. That means anybody in the future, 100 years from now, say someone's trying, you know, let's say a Duggar kid grows up and one day is found in a bell tower wearing a clown suit and, you know, shooting a rifle at people. 100 years from now, a researcher going back to Springdale, Arkansas, will not be able to find that there was even a report.
That's true.
Of Grandpappy Duggar having been an incestuous child molester.
So what is the optimal outcome, mi hermano?
Kobayashi Maru, Carol.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation.
It is.
And there's no way to James Kirkett rig it. Would some sort of vigilante justice be appropriate here? Well, one, if it's vigilante, it ain't justice.
That's exactly right.
The defenders of the Klan will say, well, you know, it ain't all about race. You know, back sometimes, you know, if a man was a whomping on his kids and drinking up his check and he's going hungry and stuff, the Klan would come by and give him a good whooping. And if he didn't straight up, they'd come by and whoop him again. And it didn't matter if he's white or what. Although, you know, most of the time he wasn't.
Right.
And so, you know, that's no help. The evangelical fundamentalist church has proven itself utterly impotent in this circumstance. You know what? I mean, if you could just pluck a solution out of the air, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school when I say that there is someone who is very near and dear to the Horn community.
Mm-hmm.
Whose life was changed forever because she was plucked out of an abusive situation and spent the last 2 or 3 years of her childhood life before she went off to college in a foster home run by a couple of Unitarians.
Wow.
And they did tremendously by her.
Wow.
And she loves them dearly to this day. And that's the only way you get some sort of healing. You cannot take these children and put them into a fundamentalist evangelical foster home and send them back into some sort of situation where they're going to be told all over again how filthy they are because they bear the sin of Eve.
Exactly.
Because at the root of all of this, Carol, is the disgusting misogyny inherent inside all of the Abrahamic religions.
Well, that is true. And if you look at how this whole thing rolled out, it's Josh is the first victim, Jim Bob and Michelle are the second victims, and the girls were the temptresses who needed to just forgive and shut up.
And that so beggars any rational person's ability to comprehend that you just, what?
It sends me screaming into the night.
And so, you know that this is a set piece that is being played out in evangelical communities all across the United States and particularly the American South.
Mm.
And when you take that into account, your gut will flop. I mean, let me just by way of comparison mention something else.
Sure.
There was a little bit of big underreported news, at least down here south of the border, out of Canada. Canada, after 6 years, its Truth and Reconciliation Commission just issued its report. And the report is a horror. Especially in regard to the treatment of Native children by largely church-run and, in many instances, Roman Catholic Church-run schools. It's almost a mirror image of what the Catholic schools did to poor children in Ireland.
Yes.
There are horrible descriptions in this Truth and Reconciliation report of Indian schools that had no playgrounds but did have cemeteries. But it is, and you know, granted it may be day late and a dollar short, but it marks an effort on the part of the Canadian people through their elected government to come to terms with the evils that have been done so that in hopes the evils will no longer be done. That's the whole purpose of a Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
When do we get to have one of those?
Oh, that's the thing. If we started now, we might not be, and we considered everything that we needed Truth and Reconciliation about, this country would not be done with it by the year 2576.
I'm sure.
But it is badly needed, and well, I have friends who are long participants in a couple of different 12-step programs.
Yeah.
And there's and in talking to me about it and helping me to understand what's going on there, within you know within the bounds of anonymity and everything, nobody's anonymity's been violated. But it's been explained to me that there has to be a reckoning in order for there to be any healing. In order for recovery to proceed, there has to be a recognition of the harm done. And that's one of the reasons that I get really, really pessimistic about this country's future, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Southern Baptist Convention, the Methodist hierarchy, the Pentecostals, the Adventists, the Missouri Synod Lutherans,
mm-hmm.
the Southern Presbyterians, none of these outfits are interested in changing their ways because it would mean a doctrinal and dogmatic shift. I mean, look at the paroxysms and spasms that have rolled through the Roman Catholic Church in which you were raised.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's been going on for years. And, you know, is there progress being made? Well, if there is, it is small progress. But it's progress done in the face of resistance like what Ireland did. And so the reason that this story matters is because this country has so many sexually abused children.
Exactly.
And even if they are 80 years old, to one degree or another, they are still sexually abused children.
That's exactly right. And they don't ever... It's always fundamentally a part of who they are.
And they're never gonna get the recovery that they need.
A lot of them learn very good coping skills.
Sure. But there's a big difference, Carol, between coping skills and recovery. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree.
And I'm not saying that just because that sexual abuse as a child provides cover for every fuck up a person may have for the rest of their lives. But we know for a fact that it plays a goddamn big-ass role in it.
Yes, it does.
Untreated sexual abuse results in self-medication via drug addiction, via alcohol abuse. It results in self-harm. It results in acting out behavior. It results in the perpetration of further abuse. And thus it rolls down the damn generations.
And worse, the people who become so emotionally crippled by it that they become professional victims.
Or just can't, or you know, and I'm not going to tell anybody they need to bootstrap themselves on this.
It isn't
they,
about
they can't rise
help.
Above it. And what are the people who live in cultures, or subcultures, or internal infracultures, where trying to find help only results in further abuse?
Bob, in our family, my mother was one of those people who, you didn't. It was shameful for anyone to know some of the things that went on in our house. That was the worst thing to her, was that someone would find out. And so you weren't allowed to talk about it. You weren't allowed to talk about it with her. You couldn't go to her because it was just wrong to talk about it. And if you asked for help, you were told flat out there was no way that you were going to shame our family by going to an outsider.
I know stories of abused children who were beaten when it was found out they were abused. And what did you do to make him do that? Those are real stories.
Yeah.
And it takes a hell of a lot of strength, and it takes a hell of a lot of courage to finally come to the reach the logical conclusion, and children aren't known for their logic.
Yeah, you need to talk to my sister, because trust me, she'll tell you straight out. And she's far more qualified to talk to you about this than I am.
But you know, to get a child to understand that they were not at fault for their abuse, and Jesus, you know, everybody apparently who's watched the damn Duggars on TV can tell you that those girls ain't home.
No.
One of them in particular, who apparently will be forever in the Duggar home under the watchful eye of Mummy and Daddy.
Mm-hmm. And that too is a common thread among the sexually abused, is that they have no coping skills to go out and get a life, and they end up living with their parents forever. Happened in our family. Seriously.
Oh, I know. And I mean, I'll tell one more little horror story here.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a, I guess, a humorous quality to it, but it's still, you know, I remember a long time ago, there was a boy had been indicted, and you know, he was like 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been indicted for fondling around on a 12-year-old boy. And after the indictment was returned, showed up for his initial appearance, and he had a bought and paid for lawyer, and a man who did not hire cheap, and he was a jovial fella, he's a man of color, and I think it was the same day that the judge stood up there and called him by name and said, "Well, boy, I ain't seen you in a coon's age." At which point I rose and said, "Point of honor, Your Honor, where I come from, we call them when they get to, we call them uncle. Not boy." It got me in some deep shit. not for the uncle, but for the point of order, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the judge, well, I mean, among other things, you know, he was a noted collector of Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, charming.
I remember one day when he looked at a lawyer representing some children in a child abuse case and said, "Well, you have to give the Germans this much. They took good care of their children." And she looked right back at him and said, "Yeah, the ones that were blonde-haired and blue-eyed. The other ones, they, you know, burnt in ovens. You know, the ones who were people like me." But anyway.
Oh, Lord.
So we get done with the, and this garrulous lawyer comes up to me and says, "Now, why'd that boy have to be indicted? That's just a couple of boys out in the woods banging dickheads together." And, you know, I knew in that moment that we were going to be at fundamental odds over just what amount of autonomy a person was entitled to in regard to their own body, especially a child. Meanwhile, since I'm telling stories out of school, you know me, I talk to everybody. I talk in the line at the post office, I talk while I'm pumping gas, and I chat with my community.
Yeah.
So I walked into one of the little local stores here, and, you know, being gay in West Virginia ain't easy.
I don't imagine.
We got a lot of Duggar viewers in this state. And an individual was telling me about how a good, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist woman came in, and conversation, you know, just innocuous bullshit conversation over the counter, and then she said, "Wait, you're a homosexual?" And she said, "Yes, ma'am." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, "You're an abomination unto the Lord. Don't you get anywhere near my little boy, you pedophile." This ain't a month ago. And so I only mention that by way of expanding upon the notion that and it ain't just the Duggars.
No, it isn't.
That this problem, and they say still waters run deep. Well, these waters are boiling and roiling and turbulent, and it goes all the way to the sandy bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This, I would not be surprised if we were to find out that if all the reporting was done, sexual abuse, like rape, all forms of sexual abuse are near epidemic proportions in this country. Because the older I get, it seems like the more people I know said, "Well, you know, there was that time."
Yeah.
And that means you've got a whole bunch of the population walking around hurt, wounded, weak, weary, Carol, and just trying to get by day to day as best they can. So, yeah, for what it's worth, I guess.
Well, all I got to say is the people from Clorox owe me a shit ton of money.
God almighty.
Their stock just went up.
You know, do you know how many damn jugs it takes to fill a bathtub? Because, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm 6 foot
42.
I'm 6 foot two, so I can't ever get all of me under the bleach at the same time. Either my head's sticking out or my knees are. Ugh.
Bleach shower, buddy.
Ain't that the truth? Well, I will tell you that your sister says that she wants to get in on this conversation. So
right.
shall we give Barbie a turn at the mic?
Absolutely.
Carol, I thank you for taking one for the team last night, and I didn't mean for this to get so damn heavy, but it can't help but be, I reckon.
It's a heavy topic, and I called in not because I wanted to make fun of them, because I was so pissed at listening to their bullshit.
Yeah, they're pious crap. And you know what? This is of a piece with the same thing I started the program with. This is of a piece with the piety of a Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, who can blithely stand on a stage and make jokes about a man whose 46-year-old son has just died of brain cancer.
Yeah.
These evangelicals are suffused with a self-righteousness that allows them to be immune to the pain of anyone but themselves.
Amazing, ain't it?
Yeah, and you know, when the senior, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, shuffles off this mortal coil and goes to his long home, and the silver cord is cut and the golden bowl be loosed. By God, if anybody says a word about that old fraud being dead.
Karma, baby.
Oh, well, yeah, karma. But by the same token, Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz will be goddamned outraged. How dare they disrespect the memory of my wonderful, loving father, who spent his entire miserable existence attacking people for how they love each other.
Yep.
Sorry I'm preaching at you. I apologize, Carol.
Oh, hell. At least I know you're feeling better.
Hey, I must be.
All right. Please feel free to go converse with the more diminutive, less salty, fabulous Baker sister.
All right. You take care, Carol.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
There's Barbie, but we're going to run over to the other line for a minute because Jim Denver has been hanging on patiently, and I want to get to him. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
I think you just heard it.
Well, first off, I'm not in Denver anymore. My disability and what I was scoping out for jobs, it was like going to be a real tight squeeze, so I'm back in Louisiana, Stan.
Damn. So,
for the moment, it's in fact, it was an article on Twitter about how much Denver's gone up, not just Denver, but Colorado since the decriminalization.
There's been an economic ripple effect.
Yeah, I mean, I was staying at an extended stay place, and I was paying well over $300 a week. Yeah, and I don't have that Bob Kincaid or Mike Malloy money to roll with. a little Juan Malloy. Human there. But, a couple things I called up about was like the vice president's son who volunteered, who definitely could have gotten out, but did go serve.
Right.
Like you were pointing out earlier in your show. I have no doubt that depleted uranium, if not directly, indirectly, I mean, had something to do with it, and this is the anger it boils inside of me. I think of all these quote unquote right wing Americans who did go and serve, and thanks for your service. But I, you know, when they get something like that, I really, this is cold. I'm telling you, this is cold. But I'm so empty of apathy for the right wing that I wouldn't care. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I mean, that's cool, and I admit it, but, you know, and I know some of them are going to get it, and I think you really hit on something. I think, you know, I remember talking with a guy back when I lived in Vegas, and he was a volunteer cop. He volunteered on a side, and he was telling me about just even handling the metal lead, you know, by bullets. If you don't wash your hands cleanly, that is, you know, that's poison. And I think that's kind of what part of what led to the downfall of the Roman Empire, because then they used lead for their pipes.
Yeah, well, you can see them exposed in the walls of the remains of Pompeii.
Right. And so, you know, that's not good. And then the other thing was and like you say, those chicks, they're attractive and all that, but, they got to realize, like you say, if they get a couple of pounds overweight, one of the producers
will tell them to.
Yeah, you're gone, baby.
And if one of those women over on Fox get pregnant, they had better, by God, be back down to their pre-pregnancy appearance in no time flat. Or they'll be anchoring the 5 o'clock Sunday evening news in Busted Knuckle, Montana before they can say live on Fox.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I mean, that is. I mean, that's the way. Try and find a quote unquote ugly, unattractive female in a major market or any market at all.
Well, not even necessarily that, because you know standards of beauty are fluid. That's why the Five has an olive-skinned woman of Mediterranean descent, a beautiful woman of African descent, a beautiful woman with blonde hair of apparently Northern European descent, and obladi oblada, who is apparently of some sort of I don't know, maybe Latino descent.
Right.
I don't know. But you know, you got to have somebody for everybody.
And like you say, they always do the wide shot, and I like I say, I rarely watch it. I mean, I mean, even with the hotness, if I want hotness, there's other places I can go to get that.
Well, yeah, but just to wrap up real quick on that note, it ain't necessarily appearance, you know, because you know, one man's nightshirt's another man's pajamas.
Right.
But it's also age. And you know what?
Oh yeah.
I'll bet you know all of those Fox beauties have, I'm sure, the best plastic surgeons in Manhattan on speed dial.
Right.
Because you know Rupert is ruthless. Roger Ailes is ruthless. And the minute any of those women get the first sign of a little bit of age on them, they're gone. And they will be anchoring the Sunday evening news in Busted Knuckle, Montana.
Right, and like you say, they always use that. Why they always go in with a nice leg shot? You know, it's like that old ZZ Top song. She's got leg.
Yeah,
he knows how to use them. You know.
Well, you know, and that's what the doctor who takes care of spider veins and varicose veins. That's you know that's what he's for, or she.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I don't know how this, I wrote this down or not. Maybe you used it or you must have, because sometimes I keep pinning a pad out because you're so insightful. I have to, like, write things down so I don't miss a beat.
Oh, go ahead, but somebody does.
Well.
Yeah, go ahead, though.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of hundred years when they dig this little 5 by 4.5 or 3.5 inch thing up, it'll be like some sort of become the new holy book of that time. But you mentioned a conspiracy theory. I'm so sick and fucking tired of that. I mean, I think that's the way upper society works. A great deal of the time in all different levels, but you know, just like if you're reaching a certain age and, And also, I don't think that helped me in the fact that I'm over 50. But once you start reaching a certain age, you're going to look for reasons to get rid of you. And that's kind of a conspiracy, but yeah, they didn't. But yeah, by the same token, if you're pushing political, philosophical programs, just like Socrates from way back when, you will be eliminated or gotten rid of.
Hey, Socrates, you know, drink up.
What's that?
Hey, Socrates, drink up.
Yeah.
And he looks up and goes, all these years, Socrates, what's truth? Socrates, what's beauty? Not once, Socrates, hemlock is poison. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget
whose line that is that I stole, but I love it.
It sounded good to me, first time I ever heard it. But like I said, the thing is, I haven't, thank goodness, I don't have to watch Fox to get all the bits because you provide them and other shows, Malloy, the couple others, I'm drawing a blank. But yeah, you provide, so I don't have to sit through an 50 minutes to get the little stupidity bit. And that's great. And also I'm going to send in, since some of my financial situations have been alleviated, I'm going to send you $50. You'll have it. I'll put it in the mail. Not in the mail. I'll do it over the internet.
Thank you, Jim. Don't do anything. Don't do anything to harm yourself. Don't do that.
I'm kind of like, at the moment, sitting in the catbird seat, because I could have stayed another week or two or three, but three is like really stressing it. But, and I mean, I was looking for jobs, but it just, I didn't have the connections, and then also, it just didn't work out, at the moment. So I think I'm going back out west in a couple of months, probably back out to Vegas, so I can just die of thirst, or maybe up to, I think in Reno. Yeah, cause I shot a man in Reno.
Just to watch him die.
Great Johnny Cash. I actually saw him live once, man.
Awesome.
The House of Blues in New Orleans.
Oh, what a venue.
Before he died. Yeah, and my favorite Johnny, I mean, there's a couple, and I'm not, I do like Johnny Cash, but one of my favorite songs by him was that one, he did a cover, but I guess it was shortly before he went to the great beyond. He did Nine Inch Nails or somebody, probably now.
You're talking about Hurt?
I think that's it, because it's almost an a cappella. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's it, Hurt.
I hurt myself today just to see if I
yeah.
Oh yeah, that'll give you chills. Yeah. And of course, and Rick, you know, Rick Rubin was largely responsible for some of those choices, and it was a magnificent partnership. Well, Jim, glad and sorry at the same time to know that you're back in Louisiana, Stan, but
I look for a reason for it, and I just had it show one down my spine when I said that a little bit ago. But it's no worries. It's like I said, I saw on the internet, I saw on Twitter today, because I was looking through shit stuff, and Denver is become one of the most expensive. The Colorado area has become very expensive. I wonder why. You think maybe, even though I've seen Louisiana, once again on the Twitter, they're coming along. Not that I want to stay here, but they're lessening the punishment for, you know, that evil herb which grows naturally. But
I can't imagine that there's not a majority of Louisianans who go, you know, just legalize it for sake. I mean,
I think the whole country should.
God knows, I think if they had a referendum inside New Orleans itself, that would be the whole past. But, of course, it's got to be done on a statewide basis. All right. Hey, Jim, have yourself a good evening. I'm glad we got a chance to chat.
All right.
And
check in the mail.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Welcome home.
All right.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim, who is no longer Jim Denver, who is in fact now reverted to Jim from Louisiana Stan. Over on the Skype line, Barbie is with us. Hey, Barbie.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I am awesome.
Are you really the gentler, less foul-mouthed Baker sister?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, only until you get worked up, right?
Yeah, but usually that's in private.
How about that? Well, that's nice. I mean, you manage your internal monologue. I should be so lucky.
How'd that bourbon help you?
You know, just had a little swash of it down, and it was calming, and I got a decent night's sleep, which is nice.
It swept the fever away.
Old Weller, 12 years old. It was just a boy. Yeah, just a wee little 12-year-old. So, you were messaging me while Carol and I were talking. You want to add something to the? Well, let me before we go to your sharing. Let me point out something to you that just came from our listener of long standing, old friend Ray, down in Florida. Ray said, subject line: sexual abuse. One of the first things you learn working in a children's hospital, Ray says, is that sexual abuse of children is epidemic. Always has been, and at no time ever has slowed down. The only thing more heartbreaking is the number one reason children are on a burn unit is abuse. The caregiver burned them so badly on purpose the child had to be hospitalized. Ray says, I really wish I could unlearn that one. But I have a feeling a lot of people in the a lot of people in the healthcare community could tell a lot of stories about child sexual abuse, and that it is a far graver problem in this country than most people even would dare to suspect.
It is. And I was a victim of sexual abuse. That started when I was 6. And the sad part about it is, our family was so dysfunctional. You know, when my mother found out about it, and this may make a lot of people cry, but her response was to get us both standing in front of her, and she made me undress naked, and she asked me, now what do you find so fascinating? Like it was all my fault.
Wait, asked your abuser?
She asked me. Didn't even talk to him, but he got to stand there and watch me undress.
Good Christ.
And I couldn't do anything but cry. And I had to stay in my room for several days after that. And he threatened me with everything because, like I said, our family was dysfunctional and corporal punishment was a part of it. And he would threaten me with all kinds of things, which meant I'd get the belt. And I never wanted to go through that again, what I went through with Mom, but she was very well aware about it. What I didn't know was that two of my brothers were also victims. And this came out in 2004. And now this was back in the 60s when this started. And he had left home when he was 17, so it ended. And, you know, the mind has a way of burying the bad shit that happens to you. And it never came out with me until I got into the healthcare profession and got to see all that crap. And I was so fortunate that I had made such good friends with professionals that they're the ones that got me through this and made me realize, Barbie, you aren't the victim. Or you aren't the, you aren't the problem. The problem was your brother. And my mom kept this from my dad because my dad would have killed him. So I'm okay, but I had a brother that had suppressed memories, and it came out in 2004 when he saw my brother for the first time since he was probably, I don't know, 14 years old. And my two brothers confronted him. And my mom knew the truth. And my brother, all he could do was stand there in front of everybody, including his wife, saying, "Now I'm being accused of being a child molester." And he walked out of our life, and we were no longer invited to family functions or included in the family because he was confronted. But my mom knew the truth. And that really bothered me until I went and talked to somebody about it. But the good part about this is the brother with the suppressed memories went to the police department, and of course the statute of limitations had expired, so nothing could be done to him. But they made it known there and in Chicago, where he lives, that this allegation was made against him. So if anything ever came up where he lives in Chicago, he won't get off scot-free this time.
I don't know how to.
I knew you wouldn't.
Well, I mean, what?
You know, I am okay. I am okay because I got some really good counseling, and you're right, psychiatrists aren't it. And some of these people experienced sexual abuse in their own childhood, so that helped me even further.
Well, then, I mean, your sister Carol and I kind of got to a state of conundrum, I guess, trying to figure out. I mean, do you look back on it, Barbie, as having simply been a crapshoot that you got the help that you needed?
Yes. I think it was because I was lucky enough to choose the field I went into and made the friendships that I made, because I don't know if I would have had the courage to just go out and do it on my own. But after I saw some of the things that I saw and spoke with some of my doctor friends and nurse friends, and there were counselors there and stuff, you know, it got the ball rolling. And it took several years, but I came to peace and terms with it. And I have never seen my brother since.
I take it you're probably not just eager to see him anytime soon either, are you?
It doesn't bother me a bit, one way or the other. I have nothing to say to him. I think he destroyed several people's lives, and I'm just one of the lucky ones. But it'll always be with me.
Sure. It's a part of the fabric of your existence.
Exactly.
Or, you know, yeah. It's a patched rip in the fabric of your existence.
Exactly, but it helped me be a more compassionate person, a more sympathetic, empathetic, and I can relate to people worse off than me a lot better because of it. I don't look at myself as a victim anymore.
So let me ask you, if you're even comfortable with this question, Barbie.
Yeah.
you heard Carol and I going back and forth about the Duggars.
Yes.
Do you have any insights on, since the Duggar parents themselves seem to have forgotten their son's victims, do you have any insights on what that must have done to them over the course? Because, you know, this is years ago now.
Well, I think they're going to have problems later on in life. I can guarantee you that. Because you build relationships off of past experiences. And I was always the quiet one at my house. And left home just as soon as I could. And I made myself into what I am today. Because I didn't want to go down that other road. I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a drug problem. You know, and it's because of the help that I got. Because I very easily could have done that. But I chose the more difficult route, the more courageous route. And I'm a better person for it.
The survivor's route.
Yep.
And more importantly, I think, Barbie, as compared to a lot of people who never get the help they need, you know, you took the step from survivor to actual recovery.
But you know, Bob, all the pieces were in place for me. It was like it fell in my lap, and I took advantage of it. I don't know that I could have done it without the steps I took in life. You know, it's just happenstance. I was just lucky.
And that highlights a different set of problems. People who have been injured in this way deserve something more than happenstance healing.
Exactly. But I made sure, you know, I've always chosen my friends wisely. And, you know, the friends that I chose to help me were instrumental in getting me through it. Because it really dredged up things that I'd long forgotten about and wanted to. And my brothers are still injured emotionally.
Jesus.
But they're good people. You know, somehow we managed to just come out of it. And if they hadn't confronted him that day, I don't think they still would have faced it. But I got my help long before this happened.
You know, there's a note coming in from the chat room from Anatole saying, you know, you're a champion, Barbie.
Well, it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. Because it's something that happens to other people. It couldn't happen to me. It couldn't. But it did. And I didn't know anything when I was six. I mean, I didn't have a clue.
How much are six-year-olds supposed to know?
Nothing. Nothing. That's just it. You know, I couldn't understand my mom's reaction. And I love her to this day. I just think that, you know, she had all these children and, you know, many people that grew up in the generation of our parents didn't talk about their personal problems, especially things like that. And he went on and he got a girl pregnant in high school, and my mom kept that from my dad. Because my dad literally he'd already had several heart attacks, and she just felt like it would have killed him, and it probably would have, because he would have killed him. Because my dad tried to teach...
Man, that's a far cry from Jim Bob Duggar.
Oh, my God. Isn't it, though? I just don't understand it. It's a family affair, isn't it? I feel sorry for those kids. I really, really do. And I think they're brainwashed into thinking that it's all over and, you know, they have forgiven him. No, no. It's not over for them. Trust me. Because they will have moments in their life where it will affect them and they won't even know it. And that will be the reason.
Well, I appreciate, Barbie, your willingness to share. Hopefully, maybe you're giving courage to someone else.
I hope I am, because, you know, it's cleansing. It's, you become a better person. You become more understanding. It just opens up more doors for you.
Indeed. Barbie, thank you. Thank you, dear.
And if there's anybody out there, it's never too late to get help.
No. No, it's not. Barbie, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Have a lovely evening.
Thank you.
I just love the way you say that. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Bob.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
The amazing Barbie, calling from Iowa. By the way, for those of you keeping track, they may be friends, they may be dear friends of the Duggars, but Mike Huckstrebe's campaign has scrubbed Jim Bob and Michelle. They had a sidebar running down the Huckstrebe for President campaign website, and the first two people on there were Michelle and Jim Bob. They're gone now. I guess that whole stand fast beside my dear friends Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar thing, in light of the hiding that Mike Huckstrebe took over it, well, you know, the discretion is the better part of valor. So they're gone now. Erased. Down the memory hole. Yeah, you can find the story over at TPM, talkingpointsmemo.com. Duggar endorsements disappear from Huckabee's campaign site. It's a miracle. And then, as Marty reminds me, there's the story of the young girl in Tacoma. Her daddy got after her for some transgression and then publicly shamed her by posting a video on YouTube of him cutting all of her hair off. After he did that, she threw herself off a bridge and killed herself. Patriarchy. A note coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan. He says, Barbie sounds so balanced and reflective. A lot of people who never had such challenges do not reach the balanced state that Barbie exudes. True, true. And I think I want to wrap up the program this evening on something similar, but not the same. Over the weekend, I saw it on my Facebook feed because it apparently got shared some 755,000 times. Terry Coffey lives in Salem, Oregon. And Terry Coffey got pissed off because people out there were referring to Caitlyn Jenner's open transition as a transgendered person as being heroic. So he found him a grainy black and white photo of one soldier carrying another on his back as the wounded soldier on his back shoots backward with a pistol. And he posted it on Facebook, and he said, "As I see post after post about Bruce Jenner's transition to a woman, and I hear words like bravery, heroism, and courage, just thought I'd remind all of us what real American courage, heroism, and bravery looks like." I almost posted on it. I went and found a photograph of a bearded man carrying the corpse of his dead daughter out of the rubble in Iraq after an American airstrike in 2003. Took courage, too. But it didn't. Because at that point in time, the goddess of irony was looking after me. Well, turns out, the goddess of irony was watching the whole thing unfold. There's a man named Mark Hogenkamp, and I remember seeing the video, the trailer for this and the story about it. Mark Hogenkamp created an entire imaginary world set in Nazi-occupied World War II Europe. One of the photographs he created, and he used G.I. Joes for this stuff, was of an American soldier carrying another American soldier on his back as the American soldier on his back fired backwards with his pistol. It was done with dolls. What Terry Coffey of Salem, Oregon held up as heroism to the rest of the world as compared to that Bruce Jenner was a picture of dolls created by Mark Hogenkamp. Mark Hogenkamp went on to create, well, there's a documentary called Marwin Call. Because that was the fictional little town where all of these heroics took place that he photographed with the dolls. Mark Hogenkamp did that as a means of self-healing after he was attacked. Coming out of a bar, Mark Hogenkamp was attacked. By five people he didn't even know. They beat him so badly that he spent 9 days in a coma and suffered profound brain damage as well as other injuries. And when he tried to get past it, he did so by creating this fictional world of World War II violence and intrigue. The goddess of irony went easy on Terry Coffey, because once he found his heroic American soldier picture, he got curious and went and found out where it came from and found out about Mark Hogenkamp. It was 2000, the year 2000, when he was beaten nearly to death, which led to the creation of that photograph. And Terry Coffey posted, in an ironic twist, I have discovered that the photo is part of a documentary created by a man who was beaten nearly to death outside of a bar in 2000. Why was he nearly beaten to death by five strangers? Perry Coffey continued. Because he was a cross-dresser. I could have chosen any one of hundreds of photos depicting bravery, but I chose this one, he continued. Do I think it was an accident? No, I don't. See, sometimes the goddess of irony just taps you on the shoulder instead of tweaking you on your little pointy head. And so, our Thorn in the Side Thursday comes full circle. Perry Coffey got tapped on the shoulder to teach him a lesson in humility about mocking other human beings' struggles. On the other hand, if I were Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, I think I'd sleep with one eye open. Because you just get the idea that the goddess of irony has big plans for Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz. Big plans. Don't know how, don't know when. But where Perry Coffey exhibited mercy and humility, Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz has none. I wish him long life, nothing but long life, and that no harm come to him. But if he falls into the clutches of the goddess of irony, as have the Duggars, well, who's to say? All we can do is pop the popcorn and sit back and watch. That's it for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. A reminder again, we're a rerun tomorrow night. However, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group will be going off air during the entirety of the program time that we would ordinarily have Friday on the front porch. So jump in, participate. Thank you to everyone who makes all of this conversation what it is, you who spend your finite time engaged with us. Thank you to Mike and Michael, and thank you to Jim, and thank you to Danny for helping us reach our fundraising goal for the evening. Thank you very kindly. Back on more and Monday, and I'm sure we'll have a passel of them, aren't you? Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and acac.org. And yes, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend, y'all.